Hey, C3, welcome. It's great to have you here with us today on our online stream. You're probably going to notice that's a little bit different. We're not at C3 right now. This doesn't look like our West Auditorium, our East Auditorium. We are at a different place. And what we are doing is we're doing a road trip. We are trying to help small businesses in our community. And so we're going to different locations trying to highlight them. So today, we are at Proof. Proof is a restaurant that is in front of Lowe's in Kennewick, and it's a great place to eat. So, man, check these guys out. When the virus is over, come give them some business. But you can give them business now coming by curbside and getting stuff. But this is a great place. We're going to be going to different places. You're going to see different scenery outside the window. You're going to see a great view of Tri-Cities. As we go through today's message, here's the thing. You might hear some different car noises, right? But that's just kind of fun, right? We'll have fun. We may have a car, we may have a cop, we may have a fire truck going by, but that's okay. Just tune it out and just listen and let's have fun. Now, here's what we're doing. Last week, we started a new series. We're calling it Escape. And we're talking about how do we get rid of temptation? How do we handle temptation? So when we're talking about escape, why we call it escape is because Scripture tells us that God always gives us a way out, an escape. And it's kind of like the way of some of you have gone to like an escape room where you go in there and you have to figure out the story and the clues to be able to get back out. Sometimes that's the way it is with temptation. We get caught up in this and we just don't know the way out. God tells us the way out. And so that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. Last week was kind of our foundation, and you can watch last week's video. But today we're going to talk about how do we fight temptation? How do we do that? And let's be honest, every one of us has something that we are tempted by. Maybe you're tempted of something that I am not. Maybe I have temptation that it's not the same for you. But we all have something that we deal with, we struggle with, that is temptation. If you are human, you have been tempted. Everybody has done that. So let me give you some examples. Sometimes for you or for others, it's overeating. For others, maybe it's gambling. For others, maybe it is popping pills or shooting up something. For others, it's pornography. I mean, whatever. There's so many different things. Sometimes pride. Sometimes overspending. So many different things that hit us, that come towards us. And so often, we just give into it. But God actually has an escape, a way out for us to not get into temptation. Now, some of you today, some of you are probably going, man, I hope so-and-so is on this online stream because, man, they really need this. That's great if you're thinking that about somebody else, but can I tell you, I'd rather encourage you to think about yourself. If you think that you do not have any temptation, any struggles, let me tell you, you do. And probably one of the things is pride because we all struggle with these things. And this is something that we each and every one of us need to realize and accept. Now, here's the thing I want you to do. As you go through this, as we talk about this today, I encourage you to think about what are those, that one or two temptations that you deal with. Think about those in your mind, because as we go through talking about temptation, I want you to be thinking of those things that you personally struggle with. Think about those. Let me give you a verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Why? Well, the next part of the verse says this. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Guess what? You're part of mankind. We all have temptation. We all have struggles. We all have these difficult things. Now, to be human literally means we are vulnerable to temptation. You have to own this. You have to realize that you are in the same boat that everybody else is in. We are all vulnerable to temptation. The moment that you think that you're standing firm is actually when you're probably most vulnerable to sin. Think about that. If you think, oh, I'm never going to fall for that sin. I'm not going to fall for that temptation. You probably will. That's a warning sign. For each and every one of us, to be human is to be tempted. And what's interesting, what's really encouraging to me is this. Scripture tells us that when Jesus was on the earth, that he was tempted as well, just as you and I are. Yet, he didn't sin. That was the only difference. He didn't sin. He was tempted, though. So we have a God that actually knows what it's like to be tempted. We have the Son of God that understands temptation and knows exactly what we deal with all the time. Yet, he didn't sin. Now, there's a guy in the New Testament named Paul. Paul's one of my heroes of the faith in Scripture. He was a guy that did not believe Jesus who he was, didn't believe that the church was the right thing. And so he went around trying to stop the early church and kill Christians and arrest them and all this stuff. And this is after Jesus had died on the cross, rose again, and ascended into heaven. But what happened was, shortly after this, Jesus revealed himself literally to Paul. And all of a sudden, Paul turned around, and when he was going this way, trying to stop the church and stop Christians, he starts going this way, and he starts becoming the father of the early church. And he's starting churches, and he becomes a Christian, and he's helping other people to become Christian and know Jesus Christ. This is Paul. If you ever wonder if Jesus is real, can I just point you to Paul? Because Paul had a literally come to Jesus moment where he was going one direction, and his life changed to go the other direction. And Paul says this. He says, and God is faithful. And God is faithful. Now that's the good news. Well, how is he faithful? He will not let us be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, now here's the good news. But when you are tempted, he, God, will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the good news. This is one of the places where we see that there is a way out. There's an escape out of temptation that God offers you and I during this time. So how do we become tempted? What is temptation? How does it work? Well, let's look at real quickly five steps forward toward temptation. Five steps toward temptation and sin. One of them is this. Temptation always starts with a thought. It always starts in here, in your mind, in your thoughts. The second thing is then it moves to our imagination. Then the third thing is then we justify it. We have justification. Then it goes to we make a choice. And then the fifth thing is then we act on it. And it becomes a sin. That's the five things that what's happened right there. Now, I was thinking about how to illustrate this with you. And so I'm going to illustrate it this way. I brought some M&Ms. Now, going through those five things that we just talked about, let's pretend that these M&Ms, this bag of M&Ms here, represent sin. Okay? So think about this. First of all, it starts in our mind with a thought. So maybe the thought is, I'd like an M&M. Maybe that's just a random thought that comes in my mind, right? And then the second thing that we talked about was imagination. All of a sudden, that thought I'm holding, I didn't put that thought in my mind. Something else, usually it's the enemy, will put that thought in your mind. And then, but I choose to kind of hold on to it. And all of a sudden now the thought is becoming something that I'm imagining and I'm thinking about more and more. And all of a sudden I'm imagining like, I can imagine the chocolate just melting down my throat and in my mouth. Oh, man, that just sounds so good, right? That's the second one. Then it comes to the third thing. And the third thing we said was justification. Now, I haven't had any M&Ms for a long time. You know, I've been working a lot. And, you know, a few M&Ms, you know, it's not going to hurt me. So it's okay to have probably a few of those, right? And then it comes to the choice. And all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm going to run my fingers through the M&Ms. Oh, man. Those are some good M&Ms, right? Huh? And then it comes to the last thing, sin. And all of a sudden, it becomes sin when like half the bag is empty, right? Because I actually started eating these things. Now, this is using M&Ms as an example for sin. Now, let's get rid of the M&Ms and let's talk about something that a lot of people really deal with, okay? Again, it always starts, sin starts in a thought. Temptation is always a thought. So it starts off with a thought, and so let's use something that that many people deal with. The thought is, I'm bored. I think I'll see what's on my phone. That's the thought. The enemy maybe puts that in your mind. You don't know where that thought came from, but all of a sudden it's in your mind. The next thing is, if we hold on to that thought that was placed in our mind, all of a sudden we begin to think about it and we begin to imagine about it. And all of a sudden we're thinking like, you know, I saw something last week on my phone and it kind of got me excited, right? That's imagination. And then it goes into justification. You know, well, everybody else looks at porn, you know, and my spouse isn't meeting my needs, right? That's justifying it, right? And then it comes to the fourth part, which is a choice. I'm just going to look, right? And all of a sudden, then it goes from a choice to sin, where all of a sudden it's click, 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 and you're looking through all these things that you probably shouldn't be looking for at anyway. See, that's how this works. This is how the enemy gets us. And we don't even realize this, but God always gives us a way out. How do we fight our way out? How do we get out of this? Well, can I tell you, God's got some good news for you and I. God's got a plan for us. If we would simply do it, He has a way out for us. And let me give you the verse that I think is absolutely great. I'm going to give you the first thing for your notes, and then I'm going to give you the verse. The first thing is this. We're going to fight by submitting to God. We're going to fight temptation, fight the enemy by submitting to God. James 4:7. If you've never read the book of James, I'd highly encourage you to. It's towards the back of the Bible. James is a small little book, and it was written by the younger brother of Jesus. James writes in James 4:7. Listen to this. Submit yourselves, then, say the next two words with me, to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, in this, we see right away that we are to submit ourselves to God. Now, what does that mean? Think about this. What does it mean to submit? If you work at a job somewhere and you are not the boss, your boss is here and you have to submit underneath them so that you can work there, right? If you're going like, nah, I think you're an idiot. I think I know better than you, and I'm going to try to supersede you. You're going to find yourself in the unemployment line, right? You submit to somebody that is above you, that knows better, that should know better, right? This is what God does. God says, submit to God. That's the first part of this, submit to God. We have to submit to God. We have to realize that we cannot fight sin on our own. We need God's help. And that's why God says, I'm right here, submit to me, submit to God. And when we submit to Him, all of a sudden, We are not fighting these temptations by ourselves, because we have God's power, we have God's help, God's authority to help us through this. This is the beginning of the escape. This is what we first have to do. We have to first submit to God. Can I tell you that for me, that's something that I do usually most every morning. Every morning I get up and shower and get ready, I'll read scripture. And then I'll pray. One of the things I pray about is submitting, is submit to God. God, I submit to you my thoughts, my words, my actions. Help me, God, today to honor you. Submit every part of my being to Him. Because why? Because if I don't do that, I'm going to go out and do something stupid, right? Because that's what we do. I can't do it in my own power. I need God's help and God's power. So I submit to God on a regular basis. I would encourage you. That may be right there. That may be the whole reason why you're watching this thing. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you never even thought about that. What if you were to submit to God daily? God, my words, my thoughts, my actions, I submit to you today. What if you actually started praying that? What if you actually started doing that? And what if over time it begins to build? Because at first you're like, I don't know if I really meant that. But as you begin to pray it and begin to live it, I'm going to tell you, God's going to help you more and more. And then last week we talked about this. We talked about every temptation is an invitation to depend on God. When you are tempted, understand that's an invitation from God to say, you need me. You need me. That's what God is calling us to do. We are to submit to Him, to let Him be the authority. So we submit to God on a daily basis because we can't do it by ourselves. Now, here's the next part of this verse. For the next thing you notice is this: we resist the devil. So we submit to God and resist the devil. Now let's look back at James 4, 7. Here's what it says. It says, submit yourselves then to God. That was what we just read about. That was the first part of that verse. And then it says this: resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I want you to kind of begin to see how this thing is building. This is the building blocks of how to escape temptation. We submit to God. That's the first thing. It has to be the first thing. And then we resist the devil. Now, when we're talking about we resist the devil, that is us, but it's not us by ourselves. It's also God's power as well, because we first submitted to God. So we submit to God, then God helps us to resist the devil. This is something that we have to do. This is what God helps us, because we can't do it by ourselves. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, right? What does that mean? Greater who is the one that's in you, which is God's power, right? Than what is in the world, which is not God's power. So this is a verse, this is something that we have to understand. We submit to God first, and then what happens is that then we resist the devil with God's power, with God helping us to resist the devil. One of the things you and I have to realize is this. Christianity is not a playground. It's a battleground. The moment that you realize that God is real, the moment that you come into a relationship with him, all of a sudden you realize that you are living in a battleground, because you have a spiritual enemy that just wants to take you down. Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us in John 10:10, that we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy our relationship with God, or maybe you don't even have a relationship with God. He wants to destroy you from ever getting a relationship with God. God loves you. God's pursuing you. God wants you to come into relationship with him. But the reality is, the enemy doesn't. The enemy hates God. And how do you hurt God? Well, you hurt what God loves. And that's us. I don't know why God loves us. I mean, we are a mess. We are a sinful, fallen, broken people, every single one of us. But for some reason, God loves us and God cares for us. And God wants a relationship for each and every one of us. But yet we have an enemy that's trying to always get in the middle and stop it. Can I tell you that God wants a relationship with you? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe that we're living in a battleground, come to know Jesus. As soon as you do, you will realize that we live in a battleground. It's not a playground. It's a battleground. That's what we are dealing with in this sinful, fallen, broken world. And we have to realize that. You know, what's interesting is this, is that we talked just a little bit ago. We talked a little bit ago about how sin first starts as a thought in our mind. And what's interesting is Scripture actually talks about that. Scripture actually tells us that what happens is that when we put on what's called the helmet of salvation, when we put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, all these things, what happens is this, is that all of a sudden, when we put on the armor of God, we are ready for the battle. But when you look at in Scripture, when it talks in Ephesians, when it talks about the armor of God, what is the very first piece? It is the helmet of salvation. Why? Because the helmet, when you go into battle, it protects your head, right? Well, spiritually, what does that do in the battle? It protects your mind. Why? Because our mind is where sin begins. It starts as a thought. That was the first thing when it starts out. It's a thought. So we put on the helmet of salvation to protect our mind, to protect our thoughts, to protect those things coming in that the enemy tries to put into our mind. What if you, each morning, you get up and you submit to God, submit your words, your thoughts, your actions, and you mentally, spiritually, in prayer, say, God, I'm putting on this helmet of salvation. Would you help me with my thoughts so that the enemy doesn't put things in there to start the process of sin? So all of a sudden, we're submitting to God and we're putting on the armor of God and the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. What if we actually did these things? What if we actually did this? I mean, do you think it would make a difference? I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's done this for a few years, yes, it does. It does help. It does work if we allow God to do these things. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. there is times, you know, before I became a pastor and even since a pastor, you know, a lot of times people think about pastors, oh, you know, their Bibles float and they, you know, they shine and everything. That is not true. Pastors are human and flesh just like everybody else. And we struggle with things. We all have temptations. We're all sinful, broken people. We may have a relationship with God, but on this side of eternity, we are still sinful, broken people. We still deal with junk, right? And all of a sudden, I've looked at some of the things that I have struggled with, temptations, and I still struggle with temptations, but some of the ones that I used to, I fought against them because I submitted to God, and I fought against them. I resisted the devil, and God helped me through that. And God can do the exact same thing for you. Let me just give you a simple example, okay? How many adults have a phone in their pocket that a lot of times they talk about, you know, porn in my pocket because it's on the phone, because so many people are looking at it. And then think about this. A lot of these adults are actually getting phones for their kids at younger ages all the time. Start sometimes at 12, sometimes 11, sometimes 10, sometimes 9. And all of a sudden, you know, because you just look at the statistics, how many people are looking at porn, right? All of a sudden, you're doing that, and you're giving your kid one as well. Porn in the pocket for them. Here's your new porn in the pocket. Here's your new phone. And you don't teach them anything about it. And all of a sudden, whenever you figure it out, just let me know. That is not a good thing. Why would you set up your kid for something like that? Let me tell you, if you want to actually submit to God, and you want to actually then resist the devil, one of the things that will help you with this thing exactly, porn in the pocket, you know, is to do something, a resource that we offer all the time, and we feel like we're talking about it all the time at C3, is Covenant Eyes. Put Covenant Eyes on every device in your home, on your phone, if you're married, your spouse's phone, if you have kids, on your kid's phone. Put it on there. All of a sudden, what's going to happen is that you're going to have somebody that when you have Covenant Eyes on your devices, everything that you look at, within a week or so, a person that you pick will get a email or something towards you, and they can see everything that you have been looking at. And they'll look at every website that you looked at, and they're going to go, oh, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. Whoa, what's this one right here? You know, and they're going to probably talk to you about it, right? It's just somebody keeping you accountable. And guess what? You can do it for them probably as well, where you can hold each other accountable. This will help you. This will help your spouse. If you're married, this will help your kids. Why would you give this to your kids and not protect them, but allow this to happen to them as well? Why? Why? Think about this. This is something that we have to realize. Let me give you some other things. What if everybody in your household, at the end of the evening, as everybody's going to bed, they put their phones in a certain place, in a public area, to be charged overnight, not to take to their bedrooms by themselves. Put it in a place where it won't be tempting. But for some reason, we're going, well, wait a minute. Well, Mark, I use my phone to wake me up. I have an alarm on there, and it wakes me up. You know, it's crazy. Crazy thought. Just crazy thought. But, you know, they still sell these little things called alarm clocks. And you can probably get one of those to wake you up so that your phone isn't tempting you in a room by yourself when everybody else is asleep. Put it in a place where everybody's being charged overnight together. Would that help your kids? Would that help you? Just think about that. There are ways that God has given us opportunities. He's given us a mind to go use your mind, use the common sense. You know, common sense isn't so common anymore. What if we actually started doing some of these things to try to help ourselves, our family, and our kids? What if we actually tried to do this? Wow. So, I mean, think about this. For me, here's a thought that came to mind. Why would I resist a temptation in the future if I have power to eliminate it today? If I can eliminate the temptation today, why would I try to fight it in the future? If I can eliminate it today by doing some of these things we just talked about, by submitting to God, resisting the devil, making sure that I have other people that are holding me accountable, right? If we do some of these things, I'm going to tell you this will help us so we don't have to deal with these things in the future. So we have to use common sense a lot of times. So let me give you an example. You sit down and eat 8 bags of potato chips. Common sense would say when you go to the grocery store, don't go down the chip aisle, right? I mean, that's just common sense. Don't go down the chip aisle. You have problem with alcohol? Don't go to the bar. You have problem with maybe shooting up or taking pills at some point, but you're trying to get away from that? Don't hang around people that are shooting up and taking pills. Don't do that. Well, Mark, those are my friends. Get new friends. Find new people. Get connected to a local church. Get connected to C3. We got people that from all walks of life that have dealt with stuff, and they have become clean, and they want to help you help become clean too. We can help you with this, but we have to do our part as well. If you go to the gym and there's that cute guy or the cute girl, short shorts, and you're like tempted, don't go to the gym. Well, you can't right now because everything's closed. But when they open up, don't stay working at home. If that's a temptation for you, don't do that. If you work somewhere and all of a sudden you're finding yourself becoming close to somebody, you're seeing this girl or this guy or whatever, and all of a sudden you're kind of like building a friendship. And it's just friendship. And then we just go out to lunch once in a while, all these kind of things. This is after the virus, right? You know, because you can't do lunch now. But when you go out to lunch, and all of a sudden it starts getting closer, and you were, boy, and she's kind of cute. I kind of like to get to know her a little bit. And all of, it's just a friendship, though. It's just a friendship. Yeah, right. It is not a friendship. You are hoping for more. You are hoping for it to go farther. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, if you submit to God and resist the devil, you're going to realize what you're doing and what the enemy's been doing to try to drag you into a direction that you do not want to go. What if instead you realize this, you submit to God, you resist the devil, and you go to the person that's over you at your job and you say, I need to change to a different department. And if they're not willing to do that, guess what? Find another job. Because I'm going to tell you, your family is more important than that department or that job. Don't do that. You got to submit to God and resist the devil. You see, sin grows in the dark. What we're talking about today is we want to expose, get it out of the dark and bring it out to the light. Because sin cannot grow in the light. It only grows in the dark. So will you take your sin out and expose it to the light? Expose it to the light of God. Expose it to the light of other people that you know care for you, that will be there to be accountable for you. This is what we need. Every single one of us needs this. Hebrews tells us this in Hebrews 2:18. I love this verse. Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted, and because of that, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I love that because Hebrews is saying Jesus, the Son of God, when he took on earthly form and he lived here for 33 years, he was tempted just as you and I, but he did not sin. And so we now have Jesus as our paraclete, which is kind of like, in a sense, another word for a lawyer. He's kind of standing between us and God the Father. And the enemy is always trying to point our finger at us and saying, God, you got to look at Mark. You got to look at these people. They're all sinners. And here's Jesus, our lawyer, our paraclete, saying, no, because of my blood, they're forgiven. See, Jesus understands temptation. And he stands in the gap for you and I. This is the good news. So let me wrap up with the verse we started with. Submit to God, resist the devil, and then the last part it says, then he, the devil, will flee from you. This is what I call one of those if-then verses. If we were to submit to God, and if we were to resist the devil with God's power, God's help, God's authority, then, if we do that, then the devil will flee from us. But can I tell you, if you do not have the devil flee from you, and you are just falling over and over and over again into all this temptation and all this sin, if you keep doing that, can I tell you, you didn't do the first part. You did not submit to God. You did not resist the devil with God's help. That is why the devil isn't fleeing from you. If you want the devil to flee from you, you have to do the first part of this verse. Submit to God, resist the devil. Then and only then is when the devil will resist you. And he's not just resisting, he's not going to just flee and go away from you. He's fleeing from you, not because of you, but also because of your big brother, because of Jesus Christ, because of God. You know, when I was younger, I had a, and I still do, I have an older brother. He's about 4.5, 5 years older than me. And I remember sometimes as a little kid, one of his friends would come up and try to pick on me as a little kid. My big brother stood in the gap for me. And he was the one that took care of his friend to not pick on me anymore. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happens here. The devil doesn't flee just from us because of us. He flees from us because of our big brother. It's because of God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you that you give us an escape. You give us a way out of temptation, out of sin. And Lord, so many people, whether they know you or they don't know you, so many of them just don't understand this and don't even realize that there is a way out, that there is an escape that you provide. And I believe this verse that we talked about today, this verse about submitting to you and resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. This is showing us how we can have an escape. So Lord, I pray right now for those that are on the online stream that are struggling with the temptation. They've struggled for not just days, not just weeks, not months, but probably years or decades. I pray, Lord, that you would help them right now. I pray that you'd help them to submit to you daily, to resist the devil with your help and see the devil flee from them. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I believe that you're going to begin to set people free. Lord, there's so many people right now that need to be freed, and I pray that you would set them free and that they would do the right things. Now, Father, I also pray this. I also pray for those that do not know you, that are on this live stream right now. And Lord, if they do not know you, but this is making sense, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts. May they realize that you do not hate them. You are not angry at them. You love them. You created them. You're pursuing them, and you desperately want a relationship with them. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to realize how much you love them and how you gave everything for them. And Lord, I pray this. I pray for those that are right now that are realizing this, that they would just simply bow their heart and say, God, forgive me. I need you. I need to submit to you, God. And I need to resist the devil, and I need your help to do that. And I know between me and you, God, the devil will flee from us. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right now as people are coming into new life with you, a new relationship with you. This is not the end. This is the beginning. This is where Christianity begins. And, Lord, I just thank you for those that are now joining the family. And we celebrate that and say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.